Blog Talk Radio.
And Baby Natrix.
Long drive. Long drive.
Hey.
My family's let's go. Talk to them.
Yeah, but you can't tell her that you eat them.
What? I can't feed her goat?
No.
Oh, come on. She might like it.
Oh. Mm-mm. I'm not saying she wouldn't like it, but you could not tell her that she was just playing with them because they're her friends.
No, the two she'd be playing with would not be eaten. They're the ones who breed. Speaking of that, I think she's got two more on the way.
Oh, my God.
I don't know. It's like, really, goat? We're moving. And you're like, don't have them in the moving truck. That's all I got to say.
This is out of hand already.
I know. And I'm over here also still munching on this biscuit.
I think I'm being bitten by something.
Really?
Hey, not that way. That would be fun. I think it's an ant. I think they got confused. It's like, oh, winter is over already. Time to come out.
No, it's not. It's just warm in the house. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, no, it warmed up outside again. It's 90 today. And it's, oh, yeah.
Oh, God. No, it's still gray and hazy and icky outside here. It's cold.
It's gray and hazy and icky, but it's hot.
I pulled that covering back from the window, and oh, my God, cold air.
I'll trade you. Mm-hmm. All right, there is a whole gang of news that's been going on. And you know what's hard?
I know.
On the days that we don't do news, I'm like, oh, I got to tell somebody. Wait, no news today.
I know. And girl, you can, man. You know, you go to these things and you've got these appointments that are set for like a month away. You get there and they're like, did we have you scheduled?
Oh, see, that's cutting right there.
Oh, I was hot. And then they made me wait. They're like, oh, you know, he'll see you. And then I get in, and they're like, what were we doing?
By the way, just so y'all know.
I'm going to kill y'all.
Yeah, she's going to kill y'all. Our news site is down due to nothing.
Due to the
nothing that we did.
Most people are stupid.
You know what? And they sent me
somebody there needs to be fired from a cannon. Not into the sun this time. Let's just go ahead and send them to Jupiter. It's big. It's red. It's ball full of storms. Let's send them there. No?
Girl, I'm about to kill these people.
Breathe.
Oh, my God. I'm going to kill these people.
You know, people, it's just been one of those weeks, it seems. So we're just going to be, you know, little bit.
Okay, it's back online.
Who runs the world?
Yes, it's back online. Oh, my God.
Well, quote. All right, well, since Corey's about to blow a gasket, I guess I should jump in. Hello, people. Hello.
I'm all right. Our new site's back up. I'm good.
Whoops. It is October 11th. I'm going to take a page from Snow because I miss my snow. But I get to see her tonight. All right, so October 11th, you are listening to Love, Trust, and Drink Story.
What the hell is going on underneath my desk? You know what? I am having one of those days. This is weird. There's water under my keyboard. I don't know where it came from.
I thought you were going to tell us there's a guy underneath your desk. But anyways,
if there was, I would not be talking.
Anyways, welcome to the news. I'm going to jump in with the Witch with No Name.
Uh-oh.
Witch with No Name. It's now available in the App Store and on the Android market.
Whoop.
They say get into the mood for Halloween with this interactive ebook. Oh, hey, look, an ebook. That's cool. As you can tell, I didn't read this beforehand, so sorry, folks. Slim Cricket Books, a developer of interactive ebooks, announces today its latest ebook app, The Witch with No Name. It's available for purchase in the App Store for $4.99 in North America for the Apple iPad and the iPhone. And in the Android market, Droid, you get it cheaper because, yay, we aren't overpriced hipsters. $2.99.
Droid.
See this why he goes Droid? Because he goes on Apple, you get overcharged to be a hipster. All right, so The Witch with No Name tells the story of a witch who lost her name. Through her adventure of searching for her name and trying to discover what happened to her, she received a parcel, bless you, which contains the very last You See All crystal ball. The crystal ball includes four ingredients for a magic potion, the smell of a moldy sock, a giant nose hair, ew, glowworm juice, and a concerto of bottom burps.
Glowworm juice?
Yeah.
I don't even want to know.
I know, right? Intrigued by the crystal ball, the witch sets off with her faithful friend, Bettina the Bat, in search of these mysterious items. This interactive ebook utilizes the capabilities of the compass, camera, gyroscope, and microphone in an amazing and unique way that is different than any ebook out there. The Witch with No Name provides a wonderful mix of storytelling, animated cartoon, and adventure games through a magical interactive world where the final revelation will leave players begging for more. Awesome! All right, so I don't have this up on the new site, but I will hopefully in a little bit. So new.gamingatrix.com. Check it out later today. I have it up for you.
Yay! Okay. I haven't even had a five-hour energy, and I was going to take one. I probably should not do that.
No. Oh.
Okay. I'm feeling it today. I'm feeling it. Okay, so I'm going to enjoy this one. Okay. Recently, a little game called Farming Simulator unveiled its large selection of vehicles on video, which is somewhere up on the new Game of Matrix. Today, a new video, which I will be sharing with you shortly, of Farming Simulator 2013 has been released. This time, it's focusing on new content and the features of gameplay, and they want you to join the grand tour of these new features and exceptional content from Farming Simulator 2013, starting with a huge new playable map. Bigger than before, this map features many locations to buy both new equipment and sell your farm fresh products. It also features some field plots that you can buy.
You're not allowed to play this, Corey.
Oh, I'm already, it's too late.
No, Corey.
Let me just tell you. Okay, so you all don't know this. Frankie locked me out of my other Windows installation, and I very smartly had another install on another hard drive. This hard drive, since it's a fresh, at least to this computer, it's fresh to it, a new Windows installation. It is super, super fast with this quad-core processor. Okay.
What?
And I got plenty of room, and it's all kinds of hotness. So I'm playing this and anything else that comes across my desk. You cannot stop me, Ginger. There is only one person who can.
Do you know, I'm sorry, I have to break in with this since it's a totally off topic. Kelly Clarkson is getting married, and the guy that she's getting married to, Brandon Blackstock, looks so much like Will Wheaton, I'm jealous. Will Wheaton is hot.
Will Wheaton is kind of hot, but don't tell him that. Okay.
Oh, I totally told him that over on Twitter the other day.
I was trying to tell him in person, but they told me not to go near him because they weren't sure when I said I was going to sit in Will's lap which Will I was referring to, Will Wheaton or Will Wright. But I'm going to tell you it's both of them. Okay, so anyway.
Well, Mr. Sexy Wheaton and I chatted on Twitter the other day. Oh, yes. yeah, I know. Rawr. I was like, oh, my God, he actually replied to me.
He's very nice. He's very nice.
He's so awesome. Wheaton, if you're listening, yeah, I'm totally, like, in love with you. Just so you know.
He's very nice. So we're sitting in your lap. You better run when you see us. Okay.
Yeah, and can you get me a date with Alicia Keys? Alicia Keys.
What?
Alicia Day. Alicia Day. I don't know why I said Alicia Keys. Alicia Day. Seriously. I don't know. I think I saw, like, something scroll across my Twitter just then or something. But anyways, Felicia Day. Yes, the redhead. The redhead rocks.
You know what? Don't give Twitter any ideas with that scrolling business because it's already crazy on Twitter. That's all I need is my tweets to scroll. Okay.
It was scrolling, so I think I saw it. Go by.
Okay.
My turn, isn't it?
No, I wasn't finished with my story, and I don't know if I can, but let me see.
I'm sorry.
Man, okay, so they also have a dozen new machines, some vehicles, some of which are dedicated to the new crops that are going to be in the game, like potatoes, sugar beets. And these are, the sugar beets are new, apparently. Yes. Sugar beets. Yes. You never had sugar beets?
Never had sugar beets.
When next I see you, I will have a can for you because I have a bunch of them in my pantry. They're good for you if you have low blood pressure like I do and you have low blood iron like I do. So I keep some. Sometimes they're very good to eat all of a sudden. You don't want to eat them cold, though. I mean, you don't want to eat them hot. You want to make sure they're chilled. Anyway, finally, players, you out there are supposed to be able to diversify your animal husbandry. If you don't know what that is, you have some chickens, some sheep that will be joining the game because they weren't in before. Yeah, there's some cows, yes. And several vehicles and tools to feed them. And again, we will have that video up for you shortly so you can take a look. I am so excited about this game.
I know you are. This is totally your type of game.
I don't know why.
Because you love farming. And, you know, if they put fishing on that farm, oh, God, I'd never see you.
It's not just farming. I am a simulator junkie. I am so serious. I cannot wait for SimCity to come out because I am telling you, I cannot wait to look at the city budget and start talking to the city advisors and firing people. Oh, my God.
You know, you should just, like, run for your city council.
No, it won't be the same. I can't fire them or I can't do stuff to them. And I can't send a hurricane or a tornado or earthquake or
that's true.
Volcano onto the city, which I would do. I
was going to say, well, you can slash tires, but, you know, I shouldn't.
How many people there are in Houston? You know how many tires? My arm would be tired when I got
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
A whole lot of tire slashing, Ginger.
All right, so millions of PlaySpan user IDs and other data leaked online. Yay, I'm saying this like I'm so happy about this, but I don't think I'm on PlaySpan, so maybe I am happy about this. All right, so according to a report over on Develop, World of Tanks, Guild Wars, oh crap, and EVE Online players have been hit by a huge security breach. According to the report, the personal information of millions of PlaySpan Marketplace users has been leaked online, including user IDs, email addresses, and encrypted passwords. In a statement to Develop, a PlaySpan spokesperson downplayed the security breach and insisted that there was no evidence that credit card, debit card, or prepaid card data had been accessed or compromised. For now, the company has locked all Marketplace accounts and has asked all users to take the necessary precautions to re-secure their accounts, including resetting their passwords. The company says that it is conducting an investigation and analysis on the breach. The PlaySpan Marketplace site, meanwhile, has also closed down permanently, according to Develop. PlaySpan, a virtual goods monetization platform, is used by more than 1,000 games to power virtual goods and currency transactions, including titles such as World of Tanks, EVE Online, oh my God, this one hurts me, APB Reloaded, oh God, that hurts, Aeon, no, not my Aeon, and Guild Wars, oh crap, PlaySpan is owned by a credit card company, Visa. You know what, Visa, I hate you. You know, I got an email yesterday, too, about secure your Visa card, and I don't think I have a Visa card, so that doesn't really bother me too much, but at the same time, ouch, does this have something to do with it? I mean, did y'all... Well, of course you lost my email address. They already told me. So I'm going to be getting spam. Nice, nice, nice. I think I will be going into APB and Aeon later today to change all my passwords again.
I mean, who got hacked? It was Gamers First?
No, it was PlaySpan. PlaySpan, but they run the marketplaces for Aeon, APB, Guild Wars, World of Tanks, and EVE Online.
Yeah, you probably should change password. I'm not going to say that on the air, but you know what I'm about to say. It's not actually ours, so. But yeah, you need to get in there and do that.
Yeah.
Quickly. quickly.
Yeah, I will be doing that directly after.
Oh, we be in trouble if you. Yeah. Why am I talking? I can't stop talking today. I'm having issues.
I think all that I had has been.
Shh. Yeah. I know. I'm reading. I hear you.
Yeah. I sent you pictures. It's pretty. It's pretty, and I get to run into things. It's pretty.
I saw your car. You know what? I still love my little newbie car in APB.
I had to go for the tank, pretty much. I had to go for the biggest and baddest. Man, I drive that thing like it's a hot rod.
I rolled my car by accident. Me and a telephone pole had a conversation and didn't, not telephone pole, but the light post. We had a conversation. It didn't end well. I did not know that you could go through windshields and stuff. I didn't know that. It was fun. Okay, so anyway, Valve is saying to you all out there, especially if you live near where they are, come on in. We got sweet tea and biscuits. Of course, they don't say that because they're in Seattle.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, they're not Southern, but hey, that's how we interpret it. They've decided to open their doors to the Washington-based playtesters, and this is according to a forum post over on the Valve site. And Mr. Burton Johnsy, he says, we're looking for folks to come to Valve and playtest both released and unreleased versions of our games, as well as play around with some of our hardware prototypes. If you have interest in stopping by, most sessions last about an hour, please fill out the survey they have posted on their site. It says we're looking for people local to the Seattle, Bellevue area, but you're welcome to fill out the survey no matter where you live, as we may have plans for remote playtests in the future. Yeah, so we're going over because, we like to remote playtest. Donzi also added that international support will probably be coming in the future, but currently this is only open to us Americans. You can fill out this, we'll tweet this for you. Hang on, let me copy that there for you. Copy that link address, and we'll tweet it for you. So if you are listening and you are not following us on Twitter, because a lot of you have griped at me, I don't listen live. Well, you need to go through our Twitter and find this. Sorry, you got to find it.
Yes. And how dare you not listen live?
Well,
how
some of them are.
Dare you?
Well, some of them can't. They're in different.
That's true.
Different time zones. And
don't wake up, set your alarm.
Yep, and I will tell you that the title of the tweet says, sign up at Valve if this helps you find us, okay? Okay, you're going to be all right. You right there. It's okay, stop crying. It's okay.
Okay, it'll be okay? You sure?
It's going to be okay. It's going to be all right.
Hey. Okay, OnLive. OnLive's had a rough year.
They have indeed.
So good, yeah. Let's hope January brings new good for them, but OnLive sold for $4.8 million.
What? Better than nothing.
That's true. Before it was sold to a holding company owned by Silicon Valley venture capitalist Gary Lauder, according to a report on the Mercury News, the cloud-based gaming service was sold to Lauder for a little under $5 million USD. Apparently, Lauder spent $4.8 million to acquire OnLive as part of an insolvency process this summer. At the same time, the company had an outstanding debt of, oh my God, that hurts, $8.7 million. Ouch, I think. Excluding what it owed on future leases and contractual obligations. Ooh, so that's not even the whole thing. And of course, investors who gave the company more than $40 million, AT&T, HTC, and other major investors, accepted that they had taken a bath and would not be seeing a return on the investment. Ouch, $4.8 million is how much it sold for. Man, I wish I had $4.8 million.
Don't
we all?
Anybody
want to give me $4.8 million?
I would. I don't have it. Can I borrow it, Ginger?
Yeah, I know.
Borrow it and then give it back.
That'd be nice. That'd be very nice. I was speaking with somebody who was talking to some of these new recruits in the military the other day and told me, you know what, for 4 years or later, you get free housing and pretty much free food. Save the money that you get, the sign-on bonuses, and when you retire, you got a nice little nest egg. But nobody ever listens to me. They go out and buy new cars, whatnot. So anyways, all right. Well, that one is short. So can I do another one?
Of course you can. Did you need me to tell you to do it?
Shut up. Philippine Supreme Court issues preliminary injunction against new cybercrimes law.
You didn't even talk.
You're so evil.
I love you.
I'll take pictures later. Yesterday, the Philippine Supreme Court issued a preliminary injunction against a recently passed anti-cybercrime law that had harsh penalties for violators of various statutes within the law. Justice Secretary Lila de Lima said that the court issued the temporary restraining order to keep the government from enforcing it while the courts decide if it's illegal under the country's constitution. Despite public protests and pressure to lawmakers who supported the bill, it managed to gain passage in the legislature. Corey, stop it. Legislature, and was signed into law by President Aquino. Anyways, President Aquino III last month. The law officially took effect last week, but legal challenges from various right groups put the kibosh on the law actually being enforced. The court has suspended the law for 120 days, and oral arguments for and against the law have been scheduled for January 15th. The court also ordered the government to respond within 10 days to 15 petitions seeking to declare the law unconstitutional. The goal of the law was to fight internet crimes such as hacking, identity theft, spamming, cybersex, and online child pornography. Critics left the country's journalists, and right groups opposed the law because they want their cybersex, because it also makes online libel a crime, doubling the normal penalty. Of course, journalists and people would be upset about this. No trolls? Come on. It also blocks access to websites deemed to violate the law. Oh, sorry, 4chan. Many opponents of the law fear that the politicians could use it to effectively silence anyone online that they believe is a critic, including journalists, which is not good. We need to speak, and if we want to call you a tool, we want to call you a tool. Critics also claim that the law violates the basic freedom of expression rights and due process. Yes, I need my basic freedom of expression rights to watch my midget porn. Thank you. Yay! Midget porn.
I got more information on the ongoing lawsuit between Sony and Jerry Lambert, a.k.a. Kevin Butler. Of course, earlier this week, Ginger told you about a lawsuit that was filed. Hello? Filed against actors Jerry Lambert. And it got real quiet for a second. And the tire company Bridgestone. Yes, this is an ad for the company Bridgestone for Lambert's performance in the Bridgestone ad promoting the Nintendo Wii. Sony alleges that it's a breach of contract, but Bridgestone contested it's not actually the Kevin Butler character in the ad. Regardless, you haven't seen Butler on TV in quite a while, and it's pretty likely that the fictional spokesperson Kevin Butler is now dead. The character was hugely popular in America to the point that Sony actually trotted Lambert out onto the E3. Trotted Lambert out onto the E3 stage alongside Jack Trenton a couple years ago, and Sony needs to figure out a new marketing direction for the holiday season quickly now that they don't have him. So what's the strategy, and just how important was Butler to sales anyway? Game Industry International actually talked with him about the Butler fallout. He talked with their PR and marketing people, or some PR marketing people. Scott Steinberg, who's the CEO of Tech Savvy Global, said, obviously, the days of Kevin Butler are over. You're not going to sue somebody you're looking to do business with and have an amiable relationship. This is very true. He said his character served as a spokesperson for the brand, and the last thing you want to do be in is a very public battle with someone who is representing you as the public face of your organization. That's the same thing I thought when you said it. He said, ideally, in a situation like this, it would have been best resolved in a prior litigation. My suspicion is that they had conversations beforehand, and now this is a push coming to shove. He continued that Kevin Butler was beloved by millions and was a huge PR coup for Sony, and it helped put a human face on the brand that was previously seen as a technology-driven company. Ken Kotaraji and Kaz Hirai, Andrew House, they're all business people, and it was Kevin Butler who helped bridge the gap and speak to the everyday gamer. Another PR professional who wanted to remain anonymous said he think it's a real loss for Sony because Kevin Butler was the only real advertising success that they had. So it took a long time and a shuffling of agencies to finally strike a chord. He says, I think this campaign resulted in the wider game audience finally connecting the PS3 with fun. Their ads up to that point were almost shockingly weak. He said, I always figured they would stick with Kevin Butler for at least the life of the PS3, so the real pain is the short term. While Butler's antics struck a chord among hardcore fans, it's unclear whether the ads did what they were supposed to drive sales upwards. So they may not have been particularly effective in driving sales, said Wedbush Securities analyst Michael Pachter. He says, I think they blew it in the first place when they dumped Chiat Day for Deutsch as their agency because the ads went from featuring the product to featuring the spokesperson, and I don't think that served to drive sales. They might have been better off with a product-focused ad campaign going forward. Marketing experts agree it's time to put the games front and center, explain to the customers why they have to buy PlayStation products. Finding a new spokesperson can wait. Actually, I think they already have a spokesperson, and there's a way to do this. This is the way I see it. Do you remember the little boy that they had at one point that was I can't remember his name. If you've never seen the movie, he's in it with it's Babysitters or something like that, but he's a real foul mouth in that movie. Him, Paul Rudd, and that other actor guy whose name I can't remember, and he was doing the ads for a little while. You know, he was something like, you know, Man Up and Play or something like that. There's a way to get out of this. If you're going to get rid of Kevin Butler, get rid of him. Why don't you bring that little boy in and say he's taken over? Have him stand over his grave. Make a whole funeral thing out of it. Have all the game characters show up and put Kevin to rest and bring this little boy in and say he's going to be running the company now, if you must have a face.
Yes, yes, totally.
And then I would say go the route of, I don't know if you ever saw these. Did you ever see the Terry Tate Office Linebacker commercials?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, I will show those to you after the show. And if they went that route with the little boy, like he's a tyrant, and have all the workers be game characters, oh, it would work so well. I'm just saying.
That would be cool, yeah.
But the Terry Tate Office Linebacker has to do with, it was during the Super Bowl, I think, some years ago. I mean, just give Ginger the rundown. But whenever people were not doing their jobs, he would do things like he'd tackle them, you know, like football players tackle.
Tackle.
Yeah, he would tackle them. He's like, you know, you should have put a cover sheet on your TPS report, Janice. And then he'd tackle her. Bam!
Nice.
And then he stands up. Oh, hey, Mary. When she's passing by, hi, Mary. So, there's a way for them to get out of this, and if they must have a face, I think he would be perfect. He's still young. You can keep him around for a few years. I'm sure his parents would be happy. You'd sign him to a contract, pay for his college. There you go, Sony.
Yes, totally.
And I like the commercials with the game characters, too, where they, you know, where they're all in the bar. So that's a good thing. You can tie those two things together. But I do think they made a mistake because he is the face, and they're picking at him. Why didn't you just go to Firestone and say, you know what, you got our guy in a commercial and you're promoting the Wii. Can we get you to do the same for us? Let's offer you a little more money and take the Wii out of it if you're going to do that. And that way you don't burn bridges because, as we know, Blaster loves him some Kevin Butler. So that, if that tells you anything, yeah. Blaster loved Kevin Butler. A lot of people did. So, sorry to see you go, dude. I'm sure you'll do fine. I'm sure we will pick you up.
Yes, yes.
If they're smart, they will anyway.
All right. Sorry, I was reading the story, and it hurts. It hurts. Microsoft changes game content usage rules for fan-made videos.
Yet again.
Yeah, I'm wondering what this means for Red vs. Blue, though. I'm pretty sure they have a contract with Microsoft, seeing as they had the...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry. So Microsoft has added a single line to its game content usage rules, which you can find over on the community section at Xbox.com. That restricts gamers from earning money from videos that contain footage of Microsoft games like pretty much any Halo game you've ever played. If you're one of those YouTube stars, they say, with a large following that may have benefited from ad dollars, the party seems to be officially over for you. From the new rules, they say Microsoft grants you a personal, non-exclusive, non-transferable license to use and display game content and to create derivative works based upon game content strictly for your non-commercial and personal use. The writer goes on to say, while this won't stop you from creating videos using footage from various Microsoft games, it does force you to take some additional steps before you do and basically eliminates revenue you might have made on sites like YouTube. Ouch, 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 ouch. All right, so if you want the links for this, it's up on GamePolitics.com this morning. Head over and check it out. They've also got a really cool little survey going on right now. Go click on that too. Anyways, wow, Microsoft. Microsoft, come on, man. Stop being stingy bastards. I went to RTX. We paid our money. I played your game. All right, I didn't wait in line. You can let us play your game. But, seriously. I mean, Machinima is amazing, and it's great for your games. It's wonderful for your community. And I'm pretty sure most of these Machinima people who do Machinima aren't making but maybe a couple of pennies. Only a few rare people ever make any actual money off of Machinima. You're not losing anything. Well, and it makes people want to play your games. It's like free advertising.
Here's the thing. What you should do. EA is a whiz at this. You just tell them you can do the Machinima, but you have to have this at the beginning and this at the end. And basically they have a logo and says it basically says this is not done by EA, but here's a logo, and it brands it in a way because it has The Sims and then it, you know, and the credits. And then you can do what you want in between, you know, so long as it's not, you know.
Yeah, so, exactly. You know, I mean, it's one thing to lay down guidelines and say, all right, look, you can't do this, you can't do this with our stuff, but you pretty much anything else is free game. But you're taking it away.
They feel like they need to do something. I don't understand why.
It's free advertising, and if the people get paid even a penny or two, come on, it's not that big of a deal. And seriously, especially if you're doing it on YouTube and doing the YouTube advertisers, you have to get like over 1,000 hits to even start getting paid with that advertising. I know.
Amen.
You know? and it's hard. It's hard. It's hard to get that many hits.
Amen.
So come on. It's not like they're not working for it. Free advertising for you. A couple of pennies for me.
Yeah, and a matter of fact, again, follow EA's footsteps and let people brand it. You can even have an area where they can upload their machinima to the site. Come on.
Yes, that would be amazing. Amazing. Think about that. You know, you have like a whole little slider where people can upload, you know, their machinima. All right, so you're going to have to have somebody who goes through it and watches it and makes sure there's not like porn in the middle of it, but...
And there's a new job created. Bam.
Hire me!
Bam. There's a new job. Bam.
Yeah.
Hire 5 people. That's all
exactly.
They do all day is watch machinima.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Lunch with Ginger and Corey creating new jobs. Yes. Vote for us. President 2012.
We are Gamer Girls Radio, and we approve this message. Okay.
Fill us in. Fox. Corey Roberts. Do it.
What? Oh, wait a minute. I got some breaking news.
What you got?
From speaking of EA. I love their latest tweet. The world cannot end on 12/21/12 because The Sims 3 70s, 80s, and 90s stuff pack is coming out January the 13th.
Yay! The stuff pack. What's in the stuff pack?
Apparently 70s, 80s, and 90s stuff.
70s, 80s, and 90s. Oh my god, it's going to have tweed. It's going to have bright colors.
Mirror balls.
Oh, have lava lamps?
Mirror balls. Yeah, they already have lava lamps.
Oh, hey, mirror balls.
Mirror ball.
Yeah. Do we need to do the dance?
Oh, you know they're gonna. You know you're gonna get to do the dance.
I'm doing the dance. My chair, you can't see me, but I'm totally doing it.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway, so I want to tell you about this because I saw this the other day and meant to mention it and did not. Remember, we were telling you about the new services called Uber and Halo, these taxi things. They were over across the pond.
Yeah.
And another one called My Taxi, and they're an app startup. Well, they've expanded into the U.S. They said they're starting with Washington, D.C., but I think I saw an ad here the other day is what prompted me to grab this one. They said other cities are set to follow. The company is Hamburg, Germany-based, founded in 2009 by Sven Kolper and Niklaus Muse. And it's now offered. Niklaus. Yes, he is hot. Woo, man. Okay, so anyway. Yes, ma'am. It's now operating in 30 German cities as well as Vienna, Zurich, and Barcelona. Like Uber and Halo, My Taxi lets you order a taxi with a smartphone rather than the traditional walking out and raising your arm, all Carrie Bradshaw style, or phone booking. My Taxi also offers a ratings system for review drivers, live tracking on taxi approach, and since July, a smartphone payment option so you can pay ahead of time, which I like because I don't want to have to worry about it. With the latest geographical expansion, My Taxi will be entering a space that is, of course, fiercely competitive for one that's supposed to be so new. It may claim to be the first mover worldwide, but Uber, for example, has been active here in the U.S. since 2009, though only fairly recently in the taxi rather than private driver space. UK-based Halo isn't here in the U.S. yet, but it launched in Toronto this month, and according to VentureBeat, is planning a rollout to New York, Boston, and Chicago. And then there's Taxi Magic, a lesser-known taxi booking app available in the U.S. and Canada. So still they're saying My Taxi is some pretty stiff competition. It has over 2.3 million app downloads in Europe alone. It's supported by some heavy-hitter investors, T-Venture, Deutsche Telekom, Daimler's car-sharing company, Cars2Go, And I am in trouble. Anyway, at this point, the real trouble for Uber Echo seems to be the traditional taxi industry and city regulations. It seems that D.C. authorities are starting to soften up at least, so they'll hopefully be able to expand there. I think you guys should have started with Houston because we don't usually do the taxi thing a lot, but if you did something like that, I think it would work fantastic. I think, just my take on it. Isn't that Jay talking? He says, I was moving right along with this in this survey until it asked how many games I have per system. We'll be here a minute. yeah, I that's why I'm not filling it out while we're doing it on the air, because, man.
yeah, just slightly. All right. It's not over. It's not over. Mega Upload Founder. I'm pulling this from GamePolitics.com, by the way. Yeah, I have to read this one. This one's a little bit long, so bear with me. U.S. government spied on me illegally through the Global Spy Program. Wow. All right, so 2 weeks ago, New Zealand's Inspector General of Intelligence and Security revealed that the government had illegally spied on Mega Upload founder Kim.com. Oh, see, you're not ever supposed to tell anybody that you did it illegally. Specifically, he said in his report that the Government Communications Security Bureau carried out illegal surveillance on .com because the agency is only allowed to carry out that kind of action against foreign targets. Mega Upload, not foreign. When the news became public, New Zealand's Prime Minister John Key apologized to .com.
Really?
Yeah. See, I told you .com was going to come out on top. .com is calling BS on the agency for claiming that they conducted surveillance in this way because they had no other means to track him. More importantly, .com believes the New Zealand authorities spied on him using the Echelon network. Am I saying that right? Echelon? Anyways, a global spy program that shares information with other covert government agencies like the National Security Agency. The interesting part is that the GCSB is one of the five partners in the Echelon program. The Global Spying Project, says .com to Torrent Freak. They are prying. I think he meant to say they are spying on every type of communications they can get their hands on, from wireless to internet to satellite to telephone. He contends that the NSA was sifting through the intelligence gathered by the GCSB, and in doing so without the proper court orders that are required to do so. Ooh, that's not good. The GCSB was utilized to surveil all my communication in order to give the U.S. government full access to all of my communication without the requirement of a warrant and without the ability for me to get access to transcripts or discovery. The U.S. has used this GCSB surveillance to get real-time access to my phone calls, internet traffic, and everything, and I can't do anything about it. They refuse to cooperate with the court and say it's all national security. Really? It's .com. He's not a terrorist. He's not people. He's not raping people. He's not murdering people. He's not making drugs. He's not making guns. He runs a website. He's a big geek. And he is a big geek. But come on. He's worth national security? Is he really that big of a risk to the world, to the states? Come on.
Apparently he is.
California, get your money up out of other people's countries, okay? He goes on to say that these revelations about being spied upon illegally should clear him, and I agree, and his co-defendants of any charges the U.S. might want to bring upon him. A flippin' men. He says this is evidence that would clear us. If they provide us with transcripts of recorded telephone conversations, we would be very pleased, because all you can hear is the indictment. The DOG alleges the Mega Upload. Because all you can hear is that we were trying to do the right thing. It would show that we're a good corporate citizen. In the indictment, the DOG alleges the Mega Upload was a racketeering operation like the mafia. Are you kidding me? Have you ever heard of an alleged mafia boss to get excited about surveillance transcripts that would prove his innocence? No.
Apparently.
Awesome. Oh, come on. I want to talk about this later. This irritates me. Oh, I want to say things I cannot say on daytime air. I'm so mad. I'm moving to New Zealand.
Okay. I just did something I shouldn't be doing on the air, apparently, trying to install some software and have caused some problems up in this piece.
Yeah, I was wondering what happened. You just got, like, really loud.
Yeah, well, I got loud, low, all kinds of stuff is going on over here, but we didn't break off the air, I tell you that much.
Yay!
That is how we roll. I was like, what just happened here? That's what I said. What just happened here? Of course, I had some other words thrown in there, too. But, you know, I can't say those during daytime. Yeah, we will, of course, be talking about Kim.com later when we can use the proper verbiage. I'm not going to even try to skirt it. I'm going to wait until later. Mm-hmm. Remember, we were talking about other things earlier in the week that we were like, you know, this is actual terrorism, and they're not even going after those people quite as hard. Matter of fact, what's his face? The rapist?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How come he's not, you know, being spied upon? Anyway, we'll talk about that later. All right, so we got another new game. It's Halloween.
We got another new game?
It's Halloween, so you know what's coming. Leading games publisher and developer Game Evil announced the release of their latest title, Zombie Gunner, to the App Store today.
Zombie Gunner!
It sounds like it should have that. Ready to ride! Okay, so anyway, Zombie Gunner is developed by B&Z and is published by Game Evil through the Partner Fund. Partner Fund allows Game Evil to support indie developers, publish their games to the global market, bringing countless titles to the App Store from an eclectic collection of genres. Zombie Gunner is an action arcade game in which users must protect civilians while in search for the protagonist's daughter amidst a zombie apocalypse. We know how this works. The cause of imminent chaos is not revealed as the hero finds himself surrounded by zombies and a broken town. Wah, wah, wah. Users are able to equip the hero with various weapons ranging in size and type. Throughout the journey, the hero runs into other characters who help him along the way while revealing clues as to his daughter's whereabouts. With a multitude of stages and challenges and boss battles, Zombie Gunner brings blood-splattering joy to the side-scrolling action genre. That's right, it's a side-scroller, people.
Side-scrolling!
Ready to ride! Okay, so it's a fun game. Halloween around the corner. You can find Zombie Gunner on the App Store. I do not know the price, but I'm going to put it out here for you in just a second. Ah, it is the perfect price. It be free. And it is adorable. Let me just tell you, people, it is adorable looking. There's a lot on the screen to keep the eye moving so you don't get bored, but it doesn't look too busy. So, you got weapons and machines and, yeah.
And
it's very cartoony, but not too cartoony. I think I'm going to be playing this a little bit later. I think I'm going to do it.
All right.
It's not getting a good review, so we're going to see.
We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Put your fingers where TSA agents wouldn't dare and funky smugglers. Out
what?
Now for the iOS. Oh, yeah, you heard me. Live the funky life of airport security in 11-bit Studios' finger-flicking good follow-up to Anomaly Warzone Earth. Oh, my God. All right. I think you guys are smoking something when you make your games. 11-bit Studios wants you to live the high-flying life of an airport security agent as they roll out funky smugglers. For iOS, it's just 99 cents. Funky smugglers will have you confiscating contraband with your trusty X-ray scanner, sticking your fingers into every nook of a... Oh my God, every nook of a crook and a cranny of a granny to keep them from smuggling their wacky and dangerous goods onto a plane. See what the smugglers don't want you to see and flick it away, scoring finger-twisting combos. Hop into the spirit of 70s, brought to life with the funky music tracks, which you can hear over in the launch trailer, which I'm going to have up on new.gamingmatrix in a little bit. Join huge team battles where you fight for high scores, dive into challenging randomized missions, use multi-touch or one-finger slide to pick up multiple items, and chain together combos. Boost your X-ray. Earn in-game cash to spend on customization, new contraband, new smugglers, and exciting upgrades in this endless arcade grooviness.
Woot!
Woot, woot! Alright, so Funky Smugglers offers quality by Apple Design award-winning developer and Oh Mama. It's localized to 11 languages, English, French, German, Spanish, Italian, Russian, Portuguese, Polish, Korean, Chinese, and Japanese. What? All right, so it's on the App Store. Get it now. And get your finger on. Ew.
All right. It's some moving and shaking going on at Yahoo. You work,
uh-oh.
Melissa. Marissa, I'm sorry, not Melissa. Yahoo's chief technical officer, Ash Munshi, has left the company, according to a Business Insider report. Still new CEO Marissa Mayer, who just had a baby boy, by the way. Congratulations to you, Marissa. Maybe cleaning house and clearing the decks at Yahoo in preparation for executing her just-unveiled strategy for turning the company around. Mayer has already hired a new chief marketing officer, reportedly while the old one was on vacation. and has been courting other talent, including Twitter VP Katie Stanton. It is also possible that Munchie, who is also the founder and CEO of a real estate startup called Terabits, decided that now was a good time to step away from Yahoo and focus on his own ventures. He joined the company only about a year ago after previously working at Level 5 Network and MSC Software. Our people's over at VentureBeat called Terabits and spoke to a staff member who said no comment, basically. A Yahoo spokesperson, however, did comment and said that they can confirm that he was no longer with Yahoo before Marissa joined. That would mean that he's not updated his LinkedIn profile for about 3 months, which seems at least somewhat unlikely for a well-connected person. He has over 500 LinkedIn connections, apparently. Actually, I think I do, too. Interesting. And I hardly check it. Anyway, Mayer's new strategy for Yahoo is big on personalization, mobile and acquisitions, and, of course, a much more Google-oriented focus on products. Munchie obviously won't be part of that. So we'll keep you posted as to what's going on. She is doing something over there. We'll see.
She's got something going on. She's definitely got something going on. All right, so I was going to read this one. But it's really... No, I'm going to read it. All right, so Mountain Dew Energy fuels gamers with an explosive partnership with Halo 4. Yay! Life prepares, and they're right, particularly when it comes to an awesome new partnership between Mountain Dew Energy and one of the biggest video games of 2012, Halo 4, which I can't wait! Master Chief, I love you, Mary. Mwah.
No, ma'am.
Energy has teamed up with Halo 4 to offer an exclusive on-pack promotion in the UK for the eagerly anticipated new game, which is going to launch on November 6th. Yay!
Yay!
Yay, I can't wait to play. That's less than a month, people. Less than a month!
Yay!
This not-to-be-missed competition can be found on the specifically marked 500 milliliters and 1 liter Mountain Dew packs, including a limited edition flavor, Game Fuel. Entrants will have the chance to win one of four all expenses paid behind the scenes trips for two to the Halo 4 studio in Seattle, USA. Oh my God, somebody win this and then take me. And
Yay.
There are also 40 copies of Halo 4 and 140 exclusive Spartan Avatar armors to be won every day. Oh my God, if you get that, send it to me.
Yay.
Pack will carry an individual code for consumers to register over at mountaindewenergy.co.uk to get a chance to win this Halo loot. Awesome. Mountain Dew is also offering 5 lucky UK fans the chance to become one of the first people to skip the queue to get their hands on their copy of Halo 4 at the game's midnight launch on November 5th. Winners won't have to worry about queuing for hours and will instead experience VIP treatment, as well as be able to level up the game's multiplayer mode for anyone else in the UK. Those 5 winners will then battle it out for the chance to win a trip for two to the Halo 4 HQ in Seattle. Awesome. So if you want more information about this, you can head over to facebook.com/MountainDewUK, or in just a little bit, you can head over to new.gamenatrix.com, where I'm going to have it up for you. And oh my God, Master Chief, I love you.
Ooh, got something in just in time to share it with you. Thanks. Robert, the Indiecade Award winners have been announced.
Hey, who won?
All right. Wait a minute. You know what would be helpful, Robert? Okay, there it is. All right. This is from our people over in Indiecade. This year's award winners include the Grand Jury Award going to Unmanned, created by Mull Industria. Indiecade recognizes what they're calling superior examples of story development, visual, technological, audio, and all-around independent game titles, as well as the creator, who's greatly contributed to the indie gaming field. 10 of the winners, including the Grand Jury Award, were announced at a red carpet event yesterday. Oh, I'm sorry, actually last week. October 4th, the Grand Jury Award allows Indiecade's distinguished award jurors to select a game that they feel deserves a special citation for overall excellence. This could be a game that couldn't fit into any other category, but the jury each year determines the criteria for assignment of this award. past recipients could have included Gravitation from 2008 or Moon Stories from 2009, Groping in the Dark 2010, and Fez from last year. This year, the jury chose from more than 500 games and from five different continents. The winners were chosen by a panel of industry luminaries, including Kelly Santiago, co-founder and former president of that game company, Jonathan Blow, developer of Braid, yeah, that guy, J. Stuart Burns, producer and writer of The Simpsons and Futurama, and on Sunday, October 7th, the Audience and Developer Choice Awards were announced at the closing party. And where is my... Okay, finally, I get to the list. Yay. Okay, so winner of the jury award, again, was Unmanned Malindustria for visuals, Gorgorigia, Jason Roberts. If you guys are listening and we pronounced your game wrong, just let us know. Call in. We'll correct it at some point, if we remember, that is. For audio, Dyad from RSBLSB. M for the best impact, Reality in Tier, Jeff Watson and Simon Wiscombe, USC Game Innovation Lab. And for interaction, interference, and Natalie Posse and Eric Zimmerman. Go. There is a whole other list here, which we will post for you up at new.gamingmatrix.com here shortly. I'm going to see if I can get a link to some of these games, actually, because they didn't give us one. And
that's
yeah,
so good. You should always, 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 always give us a link. Always.
Link to the games. Link to the games so we can share or so that everybody can play them at the very least or try to play them. Anyway, congratulations to the winners.
Mm. Yay. All right, I'm yawning. I know it. I'm trying to stop. All right, so.
10 minutes. Save the world.
Yay, 10 minutes. Fake Bad Piggies Google Chrome app installs adware. According to Joystick Report. Let's see, this is what you get for playing that awful game. Citing an independent investigation by security firm, Barracuda Networks, over 80,000 Google Chrome users have been affected by fake versions of Rovio's new game, Bad Piggies. The fake versions of the game are accessed from the Chrome Web Store, which apparently installs a plugin that displays advertisements for popular websites. Seven of these plugins are from the same source, Playhook.info, a maker of free flash games. A quick glance at the Who Is records for Playhook Info tells us nothing. Notes the report. They hide their name behind Who Is Guard, a very suspicious thing for a business to do. What's more, installing these seven plugins requests a significant permissions access to your data on all websites. Uh-oh. That's never good.
Is this via Chrome?
Uh-huh.
The Chrome was breaking up.
Yeah. It's over on the web store. Well, it's, you know, people are downloading the bad piggies. The firm claims that a user who gives the app permission to access your data on all websites is stupid and is put at risk by having their personal information stolen, including email and credit card information. Those who may have been tricked into installing it are urged to uninstall it immediately and make necessary security changes, like updating all of their passwords that might have been stored in Chrome. You know what? You should always make sure that the games you're downloading are coming from the correct developers. It's really easy to make sure. And anything that ever asks you for all access to all your websites, and you'll say yes, you deserve to have everything stolen. You should never. Why would you agree to that? You should always read those little pop-ups.
They agreed to it because they were not thinking clearly. You don't think clearly?
Because they wanted to see how flexible they were. Bend over and grab your ankles, babies.
Oh, no, Ginger, no. That's bad, Ginger. Why would you do that? Don't answer that.
Because it's true.
Don't answer that. All right, there's some other news real quick because, you know, we got a little bit more time. An awesome independent game studio in Poland has just announced that they will be using Unreal Engine for their projects. Yeah. Fantastic. The Astronauts launched with a super wide Unreal Engine license. New studio was founded by People Can Fly veterans to develop imaginative games using the latest Unreal technology. Under the deal terms, the Astronauts have the rights to develop multiple games using the latest Unreal Engine technology. The team is creating its debut title, an unannounced game due for release next year, with Epic's award-winning Unreal Engine 3. They say that they've been working with Unreal Engine 3 for the last 6 years, and they know how powerful it is. Rare. Choosing Unreal technology for the future, they said, was a textbook definition of a no-brainer. We're on a quest to map Uncharted Waters and Epic's tech provides the stability required for success. Mr. Adrian Chit, I'm going to screw your name up, Chimilars? Yeah, we're going to go with that one. And Mike Gamble, who's the European Territory Manager of Epic, says that we're truly impressed with what high-quality games small independent teams are creating using Unreal Engine. The best is yet to come, and there's a good chance that the Astronauts will be one of the teams that makes us say, wow. I do not have any images of these lovely games that they're going to be putting out, so we'll keep you posted because they sent this over. Thank you, Epic. We like you.
Yes, yes. All right. Corey's going to get me because I can never say this chick's name right. But Take to the Stage with Kylie. Introducing the first time ever a brand new game which places players center stage to sing and dance along with Kylie. How do you say her last name? Minogue?
Oh, Kylie Minogue.
Minogue. Kylie Minogue's biggest hits exclusively for Nintendo Wii. Kylie Sing and Dance is going to feature 25 of Kylie Minogue's globally recognized smash hits, including chart toppers such as The Locomotion, Tears on My Pillow, Spinning Around, I Should Be So Lucky, Can't Get You Out of My Head.
That's the one.
Better, yeah. Better the Devil You Know, Especially for You, Get Out of My Way, Time Bomb, and her latest single, Flower.
They're not gonna send us the costume so we can do the dance from Can't Get You Out of My Head?
I guess not.
They're not bad anyway. Some of the guys might blow a gasket.
I'm going to have to check that out. I don't think I've ever seen that.
Yeah.
This year will mark Kylie's 25th year in music and her first fully dedicated video game. You know, I don't think anybody... Well, Michael Jackson, I think, had a fully dedicated video game, but I don't think anybody else has. Kylie Sing and Dance. Players will be able to sing or dance alongside Kylie by progressing through the career mode, featuring official videos and music. Kylie Sing and Dance is the first officially licensed Kylie game and the perfect way to celebrate 25 years on top. That's for nighttime. The two-player singing mode and four-player dance mode means the Kylie Sing and Dance is the ultimate party game for 2012. Awesome. All right, so... They're not exactly telling me prices or when exactly, but hey, yay!
Well, I got to share this with you because we are almost out of time, but I have to tell you this, Ginger, I got some good and bad news.
Uh-oh.
The pygmies have left the island.
No! Not
what?
The pygmies!
But the pygmies, they've gone to Barnes & Noble.
Oh my God, really?
Yes, Bolt creator, developer of the best-selling game, Pocket, best-selling game franchise, Pocket God, is now in conjunction with Barnes & Noble, the leading retailer of content, digital media, and educational products, and announced that the Pygmies are leaving their Pocket God forsaken island for a well-deserved vacation at your local Barnes & Noble store. Yes, you can now get your hands on a little Pygmy of your very own, or you can order one at www.bn.com. What are they offering? 5-inch collector vinyl figurines. These game-accurate figurines are available in four different Pygmy styles. The Happy Pygmy, the Warrior Pygmy, a Zombie Pygmy, and the Moon Witch, which we haven't seen yet, did you? You also have the 2.5 blind box figurines. These smaller vinyl figurines come in 16 unique characters of varying rarity. So, meaning they're going to make them into collector's items. Very, very smart. Each figurine is packaged in an art collector blind box, so you won't know which one you have until you open it. I kind of like that and don't like it at the same time. Dave Castle Nuevo said, Pocket Guard is here to stay, and partnering with Barnes & Noble is a great way for us to ensure that our beloved pygmies cross over successfully into the real world the same way they have in digital space. To get your hands on your own Pocket God figurine and toys, again, you can visit your local Barnes & Noble or you can order them offline. To commemorate the launch, Bolt Creative is also holding a contest to give fans a chance to win a one-of-a-kind or some one-of-a-kind Pocket God swag, including autographs, comics, posters, and more. And they said pop over to their website, boltcreative.com, if you want to check out. They also have a gallery there. You can download and look and see which one you want. So if you're at work, you can download it. You don't have to keep it on your screen. Abby's.
Cool.
Are you going to get one, Ginger?
I think I might, yeah.
And she won't buy Angry Birds.
No, I won't buy Angry Birds. Pygmies are awesome. Pygmies are amazing.
Why won't you buy the birds need pygmies?
No. The pygmies need to be free of birds unless it's the turkey kind.
Oh, that's not right. All right, guys, it is officially time for us to go. We have mere seconds, but we will see you back here. Yes, you and you. 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, tonight. Make sure you're here. Sit in our chat room. You can call in, comment, all that good stuff. Don't be shy. Call us. See you guys later.